Don mentioned the work that is in the Philippines. It was a year ago today that Philip, Jim Putterball's adopted son, was with us and spoke for us, told us more about the work there in the Philippines and his own life, and it was a very, very uplifting, very moving lesson that many of us remember. We are happy to be here today, and thank you for all being here. We can see that quite a few are being affected by illnesses. We miss them, but it's great to be together. It's a wonderful time of year that we can enjoy together, and it's nice to see people having the Christmas spirit, as we might refer to it, the joy and the happiness. And it might prompt you to go up and give someone a hug or to smile, to bring that sense of joy that all Christians should have to others at this time of year, as well as throughout. It's part of our life. One of the things that we often hear, phrases, is the idea of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that was stated at the time of Jesus' birth by the heavenly host. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." That is something that we ought to give some special consideration, I think, this morning. This having peace and goodwill toward men that Jesus brings to the world. It was said in Isaiah that a child would be born and that he would be called the Prince of Peace. And therefore, Jesus, in the prophecies that led to him and in his birth, was announced to the world as a bringer of peace to the world. As we look out in our world today, we often wonder about that when we see a lot of the anger and build up of rage and see these scenes of cities burning and people rioting and policemen being shot and all horrible things that are reported in the news so frequently, almost daily. Hearing those kind of stories would make us wonder about, has Jesus really brought the peace that was foretold? And when we think about that, how many people do you know, how many people do you meet during the week who are truly at peace in their life? How many people are there who are genuinely happy and genuinely contented with their life? When you go to the mall and when you are at work or at school, We seem to run into a lot of people whose lives are, honestly, it seems, in a mess. Because when you talk to them, it doesn't take long to pick up that their marriages are in trouble. Things aren't good at work. And their finances are in debt. And they are behind on their payments. They have a lot of health problems. And so people are living lives oftentimes that we know, people that we run into and around a lot, who are really need this peace, could really use this peace that Jesus has promised. And so I believe that it gives us an opportunity as Christians to be able to share something. We have something to share with people around us who so desperately need peace in their lives. One of the great things about being a follower of Jesus is that we can be instruments of this peace. We have something that we can bless people with and help them in their lives with understanding how they can have this peace, because God truly wants to give us peace. He wants each one of us to have this peace in our lives. And how can we have that, though? It isn't something like a Christmas present that somebody brings to your home and you just open it up and take it into your life. I would suggest to you that this peace of God is something that we have to work with God in order to bring about. It's something that in order for this peace to become a reality in our life, we have to be participants with God in that process. Certainly God shows us that it's his desire for us to have this peace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit that is listed in Galatians, the 5th chapter. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and so forth. These are things that are an evidence that God is truly directing and controlling and guiding your life to have peace within your life. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." In Ephesians chapter 6 here, a few chapters later in the book of Ephesians that we're going to be looking at, he referred to the gospel of peace as part of the armor of God that we have been equipped to fight the battles of spiritual battles that we are engaged with, Satan and the hosts of evil that beset us. So God wants you, He wants me, each one of us, to have peace. But does that mean it's just a gift that nothing for you and I to do? I would argue rather it is a gift that God wants us to be a participant, to be cooperating with God in bringing that to be a reality in your life and helping to carry it to others as well. It's something that we have to act in concert with God to bring to reality, to bring to fruition. He wants us to have it, but we have to be participants with Him in the peace process for it to become true of your life and mine. So there are three areas that God wants us to have peace in this morning. And the first one is the most important. And yet, sadly, it's the one that most people that you talk with would say they see no need for in their life. Yet I would say to you that this is the greatest and the most important type of peace that God wants us to have, and that is to be at peace with Him, to be at peace with God in our lives. And yet, it seems to be one that so few people are interested in and don't see any need for in their life. Yes, if I were to be diagnosed with cancer, or if I were on my deathbed, many people would say, that's when I may need that. But I'm fine right now. I don't really see any need for it. They might say, well, what I need is some financial peace in my life to get my finances in order. They're worried about those things, looking for some financial peace. Maybe they are looking for a Dave Ramsey course or something of that nature. But peace with God, well, you know, they would say, not so much. I'm not really concerned about that. They don't realize, I think what people fail to realize in our world today is that they're not going to get things right in their life. They're not going to have this peace that they're looking for until we first get things right with God, until we get things squared away, that can be the foundation of our life. And it is from that the other kinds of peace flow forth and are built upon. But those without it, don't realize, they don't understand how bad of a condition they are in without this peace with God. They don't understand their true spiritual condition that they are in. And the Bible helps us to understand that in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul here writes about the condition of each one of us are in without Christ, without God. The condition we were in before Christ. Let's put it that way. And you he made alive, he said, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I realize this is not a message that we are going to hear very often in the world today. Very often, if you turn on the TBN and listen to Joel Osteen or some of the other speakers, you probably are not going to hear this taught. Honestly, that we are dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That describes the condition, just how bad off a person is without Christ. They are dead in sin. They're separated from God, in other words. We have no spiritual life, no relationship with God. And he goes on to say that we were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. That we were following the devil. We were following Satan in our lives. And those are the only two choices, the only two options that we really have in life, is to be following God or to be following Satan. And the scripture is clear about this. What is the condition of man without God? Man is dead in sin. He's following the prince of the power of the air. And he goes on to say in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. So we were in a terrible condition with God. And the worst part of it is that one day God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the soul that is without God. All who are sinners, and the book of Romans speaks about this in Romans chapter 1 and 2, that God's wrath is revealed from heaven, and we are treasuring up the wrath of God for the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So that shows what condition man is in without God. And that is why I say the greatest need for peace in your life and in my life is to be at peace with God. And that is why Jesus has come into the world, to make it possible for us to have that peace. And Paul goes on and speaks about that in a positive way. In Ephesians 2 and verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when Christ came down and gave his life for us on the cross, he did so that he might reconcile us back to God, to provide a sacrifice for our sin, to die in our place, so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, to be cleansed of those, and to now be able to have to stand in a relationship with God, to be reconciled, to be. And he says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 that when we were enemies, we were reconciled through the death of his Son, and as a result of that, we can have peace. Peace with God. There's no more important peace than that, that a person can have. But once having said that, we need to understand that once that peace within our life with God has taken place, there's certain other things that begin to happen in our life as a result of that. Almost immediately, a change happens within us, so that we not only can have a conscience of peace with God, but there's a peace within our own heart and a peace within our own life that is able to occur. And that is the peace that most people are looking for, I believe. That we live in a world full of worries and grief and regrets and guilt. Worries about job and health and money and all of those things, but also the mistakes that people have made in their life. Horrible things that they have done, that they live with day in and day out. And it's those things that often haunt people and trouble people in their minds. And there may be addictions and other problems that people have gotten involved with. And so they go and they seek out counselors, and they attend support group meetings, and they take medications and pills and high blood pressure, and on and on we can go, because people are needing peace in their own life. They're living very troubled lives. But once we can have peace with God, then that peace within our own life begins to be lifted away. And we can have a peace with God, within our own heart. That is a wonderful thing. Jesus not only offers peace with God, he offers peace in our own hearts and in our own minds, so that we can live at peace with ourselves. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7 and 8, that the basis of this is the forgiveness, the redemption. The awareness that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And of course, Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul explains there that we were buried with Christ in baptism. We were raised to walk in newness of life. So the old self was crucified with Christ, and we are able to have a new life. We live in newness of life with Jesus. The forgiveness of sins which he lavished on us. He cleansed us of our sins. He wiped the slate clean. He totally has forgotten and forgiven those sins. We don't need to continue to carry around that guilt that we had in our life once we know we are forgiven by God. And that brings a peace within our life and peace within our heart. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Again, this is part of the fruit of the Spirit, that God works in our life is a fruit and evidence that God is now living in you. In your life, He is controlling your life. And that brings this peace and this joy into your life. But the basis behind that is the knowledge that He has forgiven our sins. And we need to hold on to that in our minds. We need to go back and refresh in our minds that the blessing of salvation, the blessing of what Jesus has provided for us. Now, as we think about Christ and what He has done for us, there not only is the past forgiven, but the present, we can live at peace in our present life. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do in my life, because in my marriage, with my children, how I'm going to bring up my children, how I'm going to live my life, how I'm going to spend my time and my energies. Because God has provided me with wisdom from His Word to guide and direct my life. And those worries and those cares that beset so many. What am I going to do? How am I going to live my life? How can I have peace in my life? He answers those questions for us. If we look into His Word, if we allow Him to fill us with the treasures of wisdom that are hidden in His Word, and we can have the sense that God is with me to help me in my life. He's not going to ever leave me alone. He's going to be there with me to help me. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. It shows me how to live my life. And as a result of that, this wonderful verse in Psalm 119 and 165, it said, "Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing will offend them." Nothing will cause them to stumble. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So whenever you are having to deal with decisions in your life, how do I raise my family? When we are filled with God's Word, it equips us, gives us the direction, the guidance. And many questions come up. Should I discipline my children? No, should I spank my children? As we listen to the advice coming out of the world, we would say, well, no, you know, that's not the right thing. But if I am allowing God to direct my life, and I go to God's Word and I say, God, should I discipline my children? How should I discipline my children? Is there a benefit in disciplining my children? We find the answer is yes. When properly applied in a loving way, the result will be very positive. So it doesn't matter what all the PhDs tell us out in the world today. What does God say? I have God. That is much greater than listening to all the so-called experts who will tell us how to raise our children and how to solve our marriage problems. If I go to God in His Word, I can have peace. I can have solid direction to build my life upon. But not only do I have a sense of peace within my, because my past is forgiven, I have guidance and strength and help in my present life, but I have a hope in my future to look forward to. Because Jesus says in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, God has a plan for our future that is perfect. And even though death is a reality that the world doesn't know how to deal with, the world has no answer to the problem of death. They like to put that as far away. To us, as a child of God, as a Christian, we have hope, we have comfort, we have something to look forward to, that we have a wonderful home awaiting for us in eternity, forever and ever. So God has dealt with us to give us peace, which He wants to give us. But again, it's not like a present under the Christmas tree that we just open it up and we have this peace and there is nothing for me to do. There is my part to play in that responsibility. I need to be aware of the things that God has done for me. I need to rehearse them in my mind. I work with God to enjoy this peace, to remind myself Jesus is living in my life. I'm not alone in dealing. He's cleansed me of my sins. He guides me each day by the wisdom of His Word. He has a home in heaven prepared for me when this life is over. And He teaches me to look forward to that day when Jesus will return again. So I need to write those things on my heart and let the peace of God rule in my heart. So I own these promises of God. These promises of God are sure and are steadfast, and God will keep those promises. He will be faithful. And I know that God is a faithful God, and I trust Him and I believe Him. He made me. He redeemed me. He loves me. And therefore, when I am dealing with the difficulties of life, and I realize that there needs to be balance when we talk about this peace within our life, because it doesn't mean that suddenly now that I'm a Christian, all the problems just vanish. They just go away and I don't have any difficulties of life anymore. That's not true. But God gives us so many resources to cope with these problems. We have a better way of coping with the faith and the knowledge that He provides us with, that I know that God is going to do exactly as He has promised in His Word. My financial worries, I don't have to worry about those. God is faithful. He will provide. He will bless. And if I seek first His kingdom, and I can learn from Him how to get my finances in order, and how to have a life of prayer with God, and to have a daily relationship with Him, and knowing that these things are true and faithful, I can have peace in my heart. In fact, it can rule in my heart, as Paul tells us. But there's another type of peace that God still wants us to have, in addition to the peace with God and the peace within our own. God wants us to have peace with other people. And that is a source of a lot of anxiety in a lot of people's lives, because they do not have peace with other people. They don't know how to have peace with other people. There are so many parents today who are sitting at home grieving every single day of their life because of broken relationships, and they're alienated from their own children. People who are married, who live with sorrow and disappointment in their lives day in and day out because their relationship, their marriage, has never lived up to the dreams and hopes that they had when they got married. And they have a daily interaction with their spouse that is a constant source of friction and grief and conflict in their life because they aren't able to have a good marriage. So it's the conflicts, it's the they don't have peace with other people, and yet that's what God wants us to be able to have, is peace with others. How many people do you know who are just constantly angry and irritated and upset about one thing after another in their life? It always is something irritating, something setting them off, there's something that's bothering them. They don't know. Someone gets on their nerves and they can't get along with this person at work. They can't get along with this person over here. But the fact is that once God has given us peace with God, peace within our own hearts, He wants that peace to flow out to others and start touching other people's lives. Here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 through 28 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In Ephesians chapter 2, we look at Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. That Jim read this earlier. He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, that He might create in Himself of one new man, thus making peace. And He came and preached peace to you who are afar off and peace to those who are near." The Jew and the Gentile. Christ brought about the peace between Jew and Gentile in Christ. And because of that, we are able to be one in Christ. We think today that we have problems over racial hatred, racial animosity. We see that in the news almost every day. Some kind of racial tension being portrayed in the news media. But it wasn't anything like what existed between the Jew and the Gentile. I mean, if we think it's bad what we have today, it wasn't near as bad as what the Jew and the Gentile were separated from one another. And God brought them together in Christ. If He can do that, He can help us to have relationships with people, others, today. So I would say to you this morning that we need to allow God to use us to be instruments of peace among the races as we have opportunity. Wouldn't you agree that we need that in our world today? That we need to be instruments of peace so that God could, through His Word, form us into the kind of people that can be instruments of peace. And when we come in contact with people of different races, whether it be white or black or Hispanic or Asian or whatever the race differences might be, that we can be able to be an instrument of peace. Part of the problem, quite honestly, the racial problem today, I'll just go ahead and say it, is there's people on both sides who keep stirring things up. And it's only through the the doorway of the kingdom of God, really, through Jesus, that we can help to alleviate and solve these problems. As we saw in Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek. All are one in Christ Jesus. We're all one. That's how God sees us. No matter what race or gender we are, there should be no partiality in our treatment of others, in how we go about evangelism, how we welcome people into the church. It should not have anything to do with the color of skin. There's no need to have different congregations, different races of people. That shouldn't be. We're one in Christ. We should not be generalizing about other races, making generalizations. Anytime you begin a sentence and you say, well, you know, all white people or all black people or all Hispanic people, you know, that's the way they are. It's not going to end up good when you make a statement like that. Don't do it. Don't be telling crude humor about that insults another race of people. Don't do those things. That's not how we talk about our own family. And there's no place for that among Christians. We need to allow God and His Word to root out some of those old attitudes that we might still have some of those in our own thinking. But we need to get rid of those, so that we can be an instrument of peace. And what about in our own families? We need to be instruments of peace there also. We sing this song, God, make us instruments of peace. It needs to start in our own families, in our own marriages, with our own children. And here's the question for the really tough question for some of us is, are you willing to stop putting the blame on the other person? Are you willing to always, every time a problem comes up, point the finger and say, well, it's your fault? Maybe we need a little more of Proverbs 15 in verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. More of the attitude of stop talking so rough to each other in your own home and being unpleasant and having that edge in your voice when you speak to each other. Maybe God just needs to make us more humble people that are willing to admit that I'm at fault. It was my fault. I apologize. Can you forgive me? Or to become more of a forgiving person who is willing to let go of the other person's mistakes. Allow God to make you an instrument of peace in your own home. And what about with our brothers and sisters in the church, in the body of Christ? You know, it shouldn't be possible for two brethren to come into an assembly like this morning, where we sing praises to Jesus and we sing praises to God and we partake of the communion together and we pray together and then we walk out the door and we won't speak to each other. It should not happen among God's people because of some past offense that never got worked out. That's contrary to the will of God, and some people are going to lose their souls because of that. Because they had a bitter grudge that they've been holding for years against another person, another brother or sister in Christ, that they never did resolve. So, well, why not let God make you an instrument of peace? Maybe you need to stop making the other person the one who was responsible. But maybe some of it was my fault. I'm going to be a person of initiative, to take the initiative to go. Let's sit down and talk about this. Let's get this thing resolved. Let's find out what can we do to make things better. To move on. To get over this. To forgive one another. To be reconciled with one another in the body of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit work on us and form us into an instrument of God's peace with our brethren. And maybe we just need to learn to be peacemakers. That wherever we go, we're willing to work on making peace with other people. So many people, by the time they get up in the morning and they have their coffee and they're out the front door, they've already had a conflict going. They're already upset. They get in the car, they're on the way to work, somebody cuts them off on the way to work. They get to work, they know it's going to be a bad day. Because they can't get along with the boss. They can't get along with that other co-worker at work. Then they have to drive back home, you know, and they get home. And by the time they get home, their wife is hiding out in the back room because she knows what's coming. It's been a bad, horrible, no good day. And it goes that way day after day. Yeah, but because it's those turkeys at work. Well, maybe we need to take a good look at ourselves. Maybe it's not the other guy that's always the turkey. Could it be that we need to let God work on us a little more? Make us more patient, more concerned about the needs of others. To develop within me the virtue of kindness and gentleness so that I can have peace with other people. I can learn to get along with people. I can learn to turn that bad day around and have a good day, make a good day out of it. Because Christ is ruling in my heart. And He can use me to be an instrument of peace. So this morning, would you like to have this peace in your life? This good news that peace on earth, goodwill to men. Can that be a reality in your life this morning? It begins with reconciling yourself with God. Letting you have the peace with God that Jesus Christ brings. And once you gain that, you can get to know His Word and grow in His Word and have the peace reigning in your heart. And then it can reach out and touch other people. And you can bring reconciliation and peace to those in your home and those in your workplace and those in your school. And be able to be truly an instrument of peace because the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart. Let's stand and sing the invitation song this morning and let's work at being instruments of peace. This time of year.
There's a song number 40 in this year folder that says Instruments of Peace. That's going to be the song.